Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Pearl Harbor Day. Fake news floundering. The rhinos are pushing Nikki to replace Pence. Antichrist spirit agitated here. Kamala caves. And the California voter fraud industry thrives. Chick-fil-A spreads its wings for the LGBTQ community. But the new chick she's calling for scoff her and hit her anyway. Anyway, will Christians walk away from Chick-fil-A? The new attack on Trump? It was all Trump's a racist, remember? Now it's Trump's a liar. Here's a list of 5,700 plus lies that Trump has told since he became president. Well, that's a lot of whoppers. Biden snarls at a voter who's dared to ask him about his son's cushy Ukraine job, and then Biden starts insulting the 83-year-old senior about his weight and challenging him to a contest of push-ups. Now, there you go. That's very dignified. Pelosi says, I don't hate the president. Oh, if there's one thing that's obvious to everybody, Nancy, it's that you and all the rest of that crowd hate the president. She tells Tapper, I don't want to talk about impeachment anymore. What? That's the only thing you've been wanting to talk about. Well, I guess Nancy got kind of pushed into that, didn't she? Tells Tapper she doesn't want any more questions on that subject. My friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Pearl Harbor Day. Here's an article. United States sailor kills two civilians before fatally shooting himself at Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard. 2 days before the commemoration of the infamous attack in 1941, Gabriel Romero, 22, was reputed to be a disgruntled soldier facing what is called non-judicial punishment for a minor offense. The only reason to identify his issue in this way would be you don't want to say what it is that he did, I guess. Whatever irritated his superiors, perhaps it would be embarrassing to somebody or somebody's political correct sensitivities. I mean, if he was busted for, he was out of uniform because his shirt was missing a button, right? I guess you might prefer to say he was facing non-judicial punishment for a minor offense. But anyway, he killed two and wounded one before offing himself. It's weird that we know more about the more recent shooting and the shooter in Pensacola than we do about the December 5 Pearl Harbor shooting, and I'm just saying, that's usually a signal that the political correct police are on watch. By the way, the Pensacola shooter was a Saudi national attending military school in the United States. In other words, it appears to be another jihad-headed crazy Muslim went berserker on the Pensacola Naval Base, home of the Blue Angels, and killed three, wounded several others, and was shot by Pensacola police. Our hearts and prayers join with the president's and reach out to all the families suffering from this latest attack of evil upon our peace. Rhino movement alert. The rhinos are pushing Nikki to replace Pence. Well, don't let the Antichrist control left fool you. I don't see Trump dumping Pence and taking on Nikki. But while we are on the subject of Nikki, Levin has branded her a rhino. Yeah, happy rhino. The only thing I can find that Nikki has done to tweak conservatives is, first, call for the removal of the Confederate Navy Jack, the Confederate flag, from South Carolina Capitol grounds when she was governor there. I've always appreciated the tolerance Americans have. I mean, generally speaking, we have ignored the fact that while the southern states raised that flag in war on America, lost that war, and yet we tolerate them continuing to fly that flag all these years, all these decades, in a sort of mock defiance or refusal to surrender. Okay, but so what? Let them have their pride, right? So far as it representing slavery? Nah, I don't think so. The average citizen in the southern states did not cotton to slavery. Okay, pun intended. But the property owners and big slave plantation holders certainly did. So their political puppets, the Democrats, did all they could to support and continue slave trade. But the great Southern patriots, people like Robert E. Lee, they didn't cotton to slavery. That originated in England, by the way, not from the cotton fields there in Georgia. It had to do with working textiles to fit together. So it came to be used as a verb meaning things that fit or agree with one another. Back to Haley. I know she did not support Trump at first, but neither did Levin. And in the interest of full disclosure, I admit neither did I. But we have all been wonderfully converted. And we are now delighted at his extraordinary leadership, especially when the irrational and downright evil opposition he has had to deal with is taken into consideration. His achievements are truly remarkable. But back to Haley. The charge that she is an establishment rhino seems almost as thin as the charge is that Trump colluded with Russia. At first. Some might interpret her softer, milder conservatism to be a threat for us on the battlefield we fight today. But, you know, Trump continues to think highly of her. And here is where this thing comes from. The inside scuttlebutt, another word that's interesting. It comes from the drinking water that was traditionally kept on the butt of the ship deck where sailors would gather to exchange gossip while they enjoy a little water refreshment. Anyway, the inside scuttlebutt is that Nikki faithfully represented Trump's administration publicly. But privately, she was more comfortable with the establishment Republicans and was often at odds with Bolton and other hawks on the administration. So maybe Levin is more privy to the inside than I am, you think? Bottom line is, we do know Nikki is popular among the establishment Republicans and the more moderate Dems, too, by the way. And some think the rhinos are threatened by Pence, and while they have given up trying to take out Trump, and by the way, Trump now has a 95% approval rating within the Republican Party. Yeah. And they can see that the Dems are floundering, right? The fake news are floundering in their efforts to take him out. They're trying a new angle. They want to set up Nikki Haley to replace Pence as VP, or set her up to run against Pence in the primary after Trump's second term. I've said often that Antichrist spirit is targeting Trump right now and only giving secondary level attacks against Pence, but there is a strong undercurrent of Antichrist rage against Pence being poised to become president of this country, let me tell you. The devil's not going to willingly give up the territory he's worked so hard to attain in this country through milquetoast Christians. You know, in politics, in education, in sciences, no way. He's going to fight to the end, and so we must remain diligent to the end. Back to the current battle for America, Kamala has folded her campaign tents and returned home. Big gulp regulator and gun hater Trumpophobe Bloomberg has stepped into the ring, and Booker's complaining that now there are more billionaires than blacks running for president. What a weird thing to say. More billionaires than blacks. Yeah, it's so weird to me because I just don't think that way, and I don't believe most Americans do. Being a billionaire does not disqualify someone from holding office, and being black does not automatically qualify someone for holding office. What is with the Democrats' superficial fixation on the veneer? You know, at least with the billionaire thing, you could argue that the guy had to do something right to accumulate that wealth, or wrong. But being black or white or brown or yellow, tinted, is something no one has control over. It's about the heart and the beliefs of the soul of the person, not how much money he or she has or the color of someone's skin. When will the blacks in America hear what one of their greatest leaders said? A desire that all men who are created equal by their creator would be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. Happily, many black Americans are beginning to see through all the lies the Democrats have used to continue slaving them to dependency on them in exchange for their votes. 34% of blacks today support Donald Trump. Wow. For the Dems to be losing this key block of votes or voters has got to be getting under their skin, digging at them under the veneer, eating at their already distorted souls. And that brings me to the close of the first segment. All of this gives rise to voter fraud concerns. California voter fraud industry thrives. You know, I wonder if all the libs who believe a two-state solution would be the answer to the ongoing conflict between Hamas and Israel would work here in California. How about a two-state solution here to resolve the anger felt by millions of Californians who feel disenfranchised by the representatives in Sacramento and in Washington because of the densely populated liberal California enclaves pushing socialism down the throats of the rural Californians who stay as far from their dirty, filthy cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles as they can. but whose interests are literally dictated by these liberal swamps. Now, how about a two-state solution? Check out New California and Paul Preston. Those are the key words you use in your Google search. And look into this. Voter fraud is a huge problem in our state. Remember that the 2018 elections... Do you remember the 2018 election scandal? Well, you didn't hear about that? Several elections in California were called for Republicans on election night, but then switched to Democrats the next day. One dramatic example of this was Young Kim, a Korean-American candidate who was leading by 8,000 votes against her Democrat opponent. She had begun her orientation for the new GOP freshman class, but all of a sudden, her lead disappeared and the Democrat won. Indeed, all six races in which Republicans were leading on election night fell into the hands of the Democrats the next day. And there's certainly voter fraud involved, but not all voter fraud is done illegally. Get this, AB 1921 allows voters to give third-party persons the power to collect and turn in their ballot. So the Democrats would do something called ballot harvesting. They go to houses of possible Democrat voters and ask if they can carry their ballot for them to the poll. In one case that got out there, some harvesters came to a Republican household and asked to speak to their 18-year-old daughter, who was registered as a no-party preference voter. They came by four times to get her vote and carry it to the poll. Anyway, you see, this opens the door for these fraudsters to walk in with hundreds of allegedly harvested votes and turn them in with no questions asked, no verifications required. It invites voter coercion, bullying, something called granny farming, where they take advantage of an elderly person and manipulate them into allowing them to complete his or her ballot and take it in. And it even gives an opportunity for automated forgery. I mean, what are the odds that six races where Republicans were leading on election night, and then all of them fall into the hands of the Democrats the next day when harvested ballots are counted? You would reasonably assume the harvested ballots would be reflective of the general trend in the voting during the day and not be overwhelmingly skewed in one or another direction, except that it was the Democrats doing the harvesting. So then you understand everything. You know what I mean? Consider that 250,000 harvested ballots were brought in for the Orange County races that allowed Democrats to sweep Orange County, which is a Republican stronghold in this state and has been for a long time. Okay, I'll need to conclude the first segment of your brain massage, but hold on to the break because I'll be right back.
God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. Go to www.books@dbp.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry art, singling the enemy is on the march, and the enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Tell me it isn't so. Chick-fil-A spreads its wings for the LGBTQ. Now, Chick-fil-A was started by a dedicated Christian man who wanted to glorify God with his business. Says so in his mission statement. The LGBTQ activists targeted Chick-fil-A because the family was known for their Christian position on the issue, and they complained against them for their contributions to organizations they considered to be anti-gay. Organizations like Salvation Army, for example. Get real. Anyway, the life destruction machine of the left under the control of the LGBTQ agenda went to work, attacked Chick-fil-A, and they called for boycotts and so forth, and of course this led to Kathy being asked for statements on his personal beliefs about homosexuality. He said, quote, "I think we are inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at him and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage. I pray God's mercy on our generation that has such a prideful, arrogant attitude to think that we have the audacity to define what marriage is about," end quote. And other statements like that one. And this generated, as you might expect, a literal firestorm of response from the liberals attacking that family viciously. I mean, and then the city started denying building permits, and some cities and towns were inviting them to leave, and all this was going on. But the Christian base rose up and stood up for them in defense of this family's right to their own opinion. And this is part of the controversy that many don't understand. Kathy had no intention of branding his company in this fight. The LGBTQ people did that. He was simply stating his personal beliefs about the issue. And what is happening now? That the old man has gone on to heaven. It's very, very sad. You know, Kathy Sr. has passed on. I don't think this would have happened if Truett Kathy was still living, but let's get this in proper perspective in any event. Kathy is foolishly trying to kiss and make up with those who were offended by his statements, because personally, he does not want to offend anyone, and corporately, well, he never intended to make Chick-fil-A a battleground in the culture war. So let's take a look. Personally, I don't have a quarrel with Chick-fil-A or anyone else who desires to make the point that they don't hate homosexuals or transvestites or transgendered whatevers. I don't know any Christian who believes these people were excluded from the atonement. John 2, 1 and 2 makes it clear. He died for our sins and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And what I mean is, the scripture does not support the idea that these people are excluded from redemption by the blood that was shed upon the cross for all our sins. I've spoken to the fact that homosexuality is what I call a crossover iniquity. What I mean is, when someone deviates from God's design physically and morally, to the extent that they engage in what the Bible describes as unnatural behavior, a behavior he has called abominable, among other things, by the way, that he's called abominable. But any who will confess they are sinners, who will turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, who will call on the name of the Lord, confessing with their mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and believing in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they will be saved. And last time I checked, folks, the Bible still says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." No exclusions. And furthermore, I think we need to remember that Christians did not rally to Chick-fil-A because the company made negative statements against homosexuals. That wasn't what attracted us to step in, or even that owners of the company stood up for what we believe. We'd be glad to hear it, but it wouldn't have created the massive movement that took place. All that happened was one of the owners expressed his opinion in a non-combative manner, by the way, that he believed in the biblical model for marriage. One man for one woman. I don't know if he added for life, but, and the LGBTQ community went out of their ever-loving minds. And then the heat began to really get turned up. Christians responded to the unfairness of this behavior. I believe Huckabee called for a Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. And we responded to this outrageous attack on a Christian's right to believe in traditional marriage without being taken to the public square and flogged by the fascist bullies. So we lined up at Chick-fil-A to make a statement of support for freedom of speech, not hatred for LGBTQ people, for traditional marriage, not hatred for homosexuals. In other words, if Chick-fil-A had made a public statement connecting their brand, Chick-fil-A making advertisements that connected their brand with statements denigrating homosexuals as hate-filled bigots who want to push their perverse agenda on others, well, I would have come to you, my beloved radio audience and podcast audience, and I would have approved of the statement, because it's true. That is, the activists among them. But I would very likely have also questioned whether the owners of the company spoke for everyone that worked for them. I would have said what I always say about this sort of thing. Hey, Chick-fil-A, sell your chicken sandwiches. Chick-fil-A was not incorporated as a nonprofit political organization with a mission statement that declares its intention to change the world through political activism. But essentially, the company was started to sell chicken sandwiches. And they cleverly, by the way, promoted their brand by capitalizing on our natural sympathy for the cows who, in their advertisements, begged us to eat more chicken. Chick-fil-A never intended to attach their brand with political issues or the cultural debate over homosexual marriage, but with the left, you have an opinion contrary to theirs? They're going to brand you. They will attack you on every level that they can, even your 13-year-old son. Right. Just ask that Stanford professor who attacked Trump's son. You see, it was the LGBTQ community who branded the company. Well, they enjoyed a huge bump in sales over this because Christians all over the country said, hey, that's not fair. That's not right. Let's go eat some chicken. How about Chick-fil-A? The owners of Chick-fil-A are Southern Baptists. The church they attend is First Baptist of Jonesboro in Georgia. And it's what we would call a Newcart church. And if you don't know what that means, you've not read my book, The Newcart Church. So call in. And if you call in and let me know you want it, we'll have a copy brought to you. All right? The ministry philosophy of First Baptist at Jonesboro appears to me to lack a clear idea of what it means to be salt and light in a decaying and darkening America. You know the type. They don't want controversy. They want everyone to be comfortable with them and to like them. And so they trim their ways to get that love. They confuse everyone loving them with everyone loving God. It's a ministry that has positioned itself as near to the middle of the road as they can in their music. And maybe actually, in my opinion, that'd be a little left of center, but certainly not so outrageous as some of the hard rock churches. And the point I'm making, the founder is an old timer. He died in 2014 at 93. And the church he raised his kids in is a Nikki Haley church. Okay, it will sound very strong conservatively when talking to conservatives, but the inside is squishy. And all of that is to say the accommodation that we can see reflected in the church family generally appears to be showing up in the accommodating spirit that seems to have taken hold of the family since their dad died. And that's too bad. Because they want to accommodate the world. And that's never going to work. Jesus warned us. The world didn't love him, and it's not going to love us. So maybe the Cathys will get our first lesson in the enmity of the cross principle that I don't have time to go into. They hate you because you're of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and no matter what you do, unless that changes, unless you flip over to their side completely, unless you virtually apostatize, the devil's crowd will never be satisfied. You will be required to renounce your faith publicly before the devil's done with you. Are you willing to go that far, Mr. Cathy? What would your father think of what you're doing? Will Christians walk away from Chick-fil-A? Well, I don't know. I think this certainly has taken the wind out of the sails of their support, and there will be very little enthusiasm driving us to the store. But as far as raising a boycott of Chick-fil-A, personally, I doubt that. Except for one thing. They would withdraw their support of Salvation Army and take up support for the Southern Poverty Law Center? What kind of brain-dead move was that? I would call on all my listeners to find every opportunity you can to send support to Salvation Army. Anyway, everyone knows that the SPLC is a front for Marxist socialists in this country today. It can defame people like David Horowitz and Family Research Council and others, but it can't seem to find a way to identify Antifa as a hate group. Yeah. Chick-fil-A withdrew support from Salvation Army and is now supporting the Southern Poverty Law Center, an arm of the hate Trump movement, by the way. For example, during testimony, the CEO of the Law Center testified that Trump's campaign, quote, energized the white supremacist movement, end quote. Oh, really? That the number of registered users on the white supremacist website doubled from 140,000 in 08, you heard 08, I hope, to 330,000 in 2017. So when confronted with the uncomfortable truth, the inconvenient truth, that most of this growth of interest in white supremacism took place during Obama's watch, when asked, essentially, that the rise in interest was not on account of Obama, was it? And so, therefore, is it fair to say the increase in interest was caused by Trump? Mr. Cohen replies this way, well, depending on the individual, you see. SPLC donates almost exclusively to Democrats, partners with liberal advocacy groups like Media Matters, and on and on. And this group has positioned itself as the sole arbiter of what is and what is not hate groups in America today. So, Southern Poverty Law Center can brand the Family Research Council as a hate organization, and then rationalize away any responsibility to brand Antifa as a hate organization, and here's how. On the ground that Antifa is, Keyword, inclusive. And FRC is exclusionary. That makes perfect sense, you see. SPLC is a liberal organization, by its own admission, by the way, and liberals are inclusive. So hatred against exclusive groups is okay because, well, they believe in including everybody's point of view except Christian point of view. In the liberal mindset, inclusive goes beyond a love for all mankind and a desire for all men everywhere to repent and believe on Jesus Christ and so be saved, and for all to come to the knowledge of the truth, that kind of inclusiveness. Inclusiveness to the liberal means there are no distinctions between right and wrong, good and evil, sin and righteousness. There is only one criteria, and that is either you agree that there are no distinctions between good and evil, or you are evil. In other words, good is agreeing not to tell someone what they are doing is bad, unless you're talking about someone who's telling other people that what they're doing is bad. You begin to understand. You're saying it's an act of hatred to disagree with someone's personal point of view. So since you would disagree with my point of view, well then, the Southern Poverty Law Center, you must be a hate group by your own definition. And ironically, that is what they are. They are the very definition of a hate group. They have invented their own criteria for deciding what defines a hate group and apply it to people they choose to apply it to who have never committed an act of violence against anyone, and turn around and refuse to apply it to a group that routinely commits acts of violence against innocent victims because, here's why, because they do it in the name of inclusivity. Like the people who are threatening Turley. You know, one of their own, by the way, a Democrat, voted for Hillary, a Trump detractor, really, but a liberal who has so far escaped Trump derangement syndrome. And he's able to think with at least sufficient clarity so as to see the utter paucity of evidence the Dems have to impeach Trump. And he said so out loud in front of God and everybody, and that was his offense, and that the Dems were obviously doing this out of anger because there is no legitimate evidence supporting their allegations. Well, the tolerant and inclusive left have reacted to Turley with death threats. I noticed, by the way, that Schiff did not interrupt the proceedings to inform everyone about the death threats coming in against Turley while he was giving his testimony. So I'm just saying. Another example of the inclusiveness of the left. Liberals, you know, they are so inclusive. The message of the SPLC is that you can commit acts of violence against people that disagree with the political correct ideology of the left. And while they will show concern about this and say, no, no, now, don't do that, they do understand. This sort of violence, well, it's not an act of ideological hatred because, well, it's done on behalf of an ideology of inclusivity, which, as we have shown, is not inclusivity. And if you bring up the Catholic persecution against detractors in the old days, you know, well, that was the Catholic Church. You didn't listen carefully. I said Christians don't behave that way. Never have. Catholics certainly have done so in the past and will do so in the future, by the way. But back to the Southern Poverty Law Center. We should not be surprised that they would be so obviously self-contradictory. These are the same people who say boys can be girls if they feel like that's what they are. So anyway, I'm not a fan of Chick-fil-A, and it won't be hard for me to avoid dining there in the future anyway. The new attack on Trump. It was all Trump's a racist, right? Now it's Trump's a liar. Here's a list of 5,700 plus lies that Trump has told since he became president. Wow, that's a lot of whoppers. But here's a collection from Washington Post, and we are aware of their diligence in verifying a story and getting their facts straight. Remember January 1, 2017, the scare perpetrated by WAPO, Washington Post, over allegations that Russia had hacked deep into the U.S. power grid? It turned out the threat was not what they reported. It was on a laptop that was unconnected to the utility grid, but the Post never did indicate to its readers that they had to update their story, nor did they admit they jumped the gun with unverified information. So, you know, since we're talking about a news organization with a reputation for carefully vetting its data, let's take a look at their list of lies. According to WAPO, President Trump has made 13,435 false or misleading claims over 993 days. Wow. To analyze this, we'll take some time. And I'm very close to the end of my broadcast time for the show. So let me offer a summary. Now then, as I did with the claim that Trump's a racist, I'll go through all this and nail it down for you. And what you'll see is that about 75% of the claims are based on debates about the facts. 10% are errors in the category of inadvertent misstatements of facts. Not like when Biden told his big fat fib about his involvement in an awards ceremony where he got everything wrong, and really not even like when Obama mistakenly said he visited all 57 states, or consistently misquoted the Declaration of Independence, or when he said our national motto was E Pluribus Unum instead of In God We Trust. Yeah, liberals really hate the 50s, but we'll get deeper into that later. So about 85% are not legitimately categorized as lies. I mean, lies, such as when Adam Schefter fabricated a version of what the president said on his phone call, obviously intending to cast the call in a particularly unflattering light, who, when he was called on this, dismissed it as parody. You see? And of course, we know Schiff did that on purpose to read into the record his evil spin on the phone call, to plant in the minds of any who might read the transcript later a kind of pointer to what they're supposed to see in it. This is genuine deceiving. This is devilish stuff, my friend. Anyway, the rest of the occasions identified by WAPO and Daily Beast as lies are nothing more than opinions that liberals disagree with, and so they argue that they are lies. But may the weight of their lies finally cave in upon their heads. They've got to be getting tired of trying to carry on this farce. The work involved in creating this fiction is heavy, and the weight of it increases with every new lie or attempt to spin. May it wear on them. May all the devils propping them up be driven off, and the full weight of their lying fall hard upon their conscience, hopefully moving them to repentance, but if not, at least then to their own destruction. Politically speaking, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net, and send me a message through our contact facility there. You can leave me a message on our Lights On hotline at 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer, because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today. Go to www.books@dbp.com.